A couple of months ago, we looked at the fact that we do need to love one another. But now I think that sometimes we hit this sense of frustration and wonder, well, I'm just one person, what can I possibly do? Well, God can use us if we'll let Him. This is a picture of Helen Keller. For those of you who are a little younger, she was blind, she was deaf, and she turned into an author, a world speaker, a world traveler. And one of her quotes was, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." Throughout scriptures, we find example after example of the power of loving each other. This is a picture of a little boy who was instrumental in the feeding of 5,000 because he was available. The little guy we're talking about is here. We're going to look at John chapter 6, if you'd like to flip there, or it'll be up on the screen for you, starting in verse 9. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Now, interestingly enough, verse 9 is spoken by one of the disciples who has brought this boy to the Lord. Do you suppose that boy had in mind feeding 5,000 folk? Me either. But he said, "This is what I have. You're welcome to it." Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there's plenty of grass in that place, and so they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, He said to His disciples, "Go and gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. As 100% pure speculation, I like to think that little boy got the leftovers. There's nothing about it in the text. God's ability to use us is not based on our ability. That little boy could not feed 5,000 people. God's ability to use us is based on our willingness to be available to Him. And we need to ask ourselves whether or not we're going to be available to Him when He needs us. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, we read, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" One of the things that has been in the news, you know, you've not been in a coma for the last week or so, is Houston. That is a picture of the Cajun Navy headed from Louisiana to Houston. These are a bunch of guys who have families, who have jobs, but who said, "I am available and I will help." Make yourself available to God to do what He asks. So we have the little boy. Next we're moving to a little girl. Now this little girl was instrumental in healing a world military leader because she was bold enough to tell her mistress about the Lord. And we're going to find her story in 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 1. "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram, and he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram, and he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now the bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy.'" It takes boldness to remind people of God's power. You guys have probably heard this woman sing. That woman is in a shelter in Houston. Her home was flooded. But while she was in that shelter, she felt the need to sing praises to the Lord and encourage the people around her. And she did so. And interestingly enough, that woman has lost her house and everything in it. But she spent her time encouraging those people because she was bold enough to praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 says, "Whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God." We've had one boy and one girl. Next comes a woman who was instrumental in serving her nation and saving that nation because she had courage. That's Esther. You find, I'm just going to read one verse of a very long story, but it's in Esther chapter 4, starting in verse 14. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this?" Now, courage is one of those contradictions in terms, because it's a strong desire to live, but it takes the form of a readiness to die. That quote's from G.K. Chesterton. Esther knew that if she went to the king and he didn't stretch out his scepter, she was going to die. Those are men running a boat at night to save people in Houston. That Cajun Navy. I don't know how many of you guys have captained boats. But captaining boats in the daylight is entertaining enough. Captaining a boat in the dark in unfamiliar waters takes courage. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, we read, "Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear or be afraid, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. And he will not forsake you." So we move from that boy and that girl and that woman to a man. A man who was instrumental in saving mankind from extinction because he had faith. This is Noah. And I chose this particular picture because you'll notice that there's offering sacrifices, praying and thanking God because they're on the other side. But they're only on the other side because that boat existed in the first place. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we read, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness that is in keeping with faith." And that story in Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 5, says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. And so the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." In Matthew 17, verse 20, we read, "I say to you that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." There was one man, one God. He was a person of significance, who was willing to serve because he loved us. This next story is a little longer. It's in the book of John. It starts in chapter 13 and goes from 1 to 17. And what we are going to read about is Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And there are lots of lessons that we can glean from that story, but I just want to glean two. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival when Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now that last sentence there, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Yes, he's going to go to the cross in a little while. He's going to go to the cross because he loves all of us. But before he gets there, he wants to show these disciples one more thing. And he says, the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you'll not wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his seat, and he said, do you understand what I've done for you, he asked. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. For truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now the two lessons I want us to take from that story is that first of all, there needs to be somebody willing to serve. This act that Jesus engaged in would typically have been done when you first walked in the room, not after dinner. But clearly there wasn't a household servant who was there to do it, and nobody was willing at the beginning of dinner to do it for each other. But Jesus was willing to serve. But the second lesson is that there needs to be somebody willing to be served. Peter, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus has to convince him that that's okay to have his feet washed by the Master. It takes two. Somebody who's willing to serve and somebody who's willing to be served. This is one of those pictures from this week that just touches me. This fellow is one of the Cajun Navy. And the story behind this is, he went to go rescue this woman. And, you know, he's kind of a burly looking feller. He went to her house and had to convince her to get in the boat. But one of the things about this picture that touches me is down here. Once she finally conceded to get into the boat, and he loaded her chair and he loaded her, she didn't let go of his hand, and she's leaning against him. He was willing to serve, but he had to talk her into being willing to be served. And in the end, I think it was probably good for both of them. Serving others in love. This lady is that guy's wife. They'd walked a long time. And she just couldn't walk any further. This guy volunteered to carry her. And he did. He carried her out of the flood. This guy clearly is rescue personnel grabbing these children and walking them out of their home. All of these people are getting out of that man's flat bottom boat because he was willing to come and serve them, and they were willing to get in the boat to get out of the flood. How does all of that apply to us? This is a small congregation, but we are a congregation of the Lord. And we can't do everything, but we can do something. Many of you know that we have made, as a church, contributions to the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief Fund. We will be doing that again. The congregation will be making a donation out of the general funds to the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief. If you would like to add to that contribution, you can hand that to Mr. Werner this week or next week, and he will be happy to add whatever you would like to add to what he's going to send to the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief. Not all acts of service are huge. These two women hugging in the middle of the street are consoling each other because their families are both safe. That's a much larger coordinated effort of the Cajun Navy, who are all getting together and launching their boats, going to look for people. In a minute, we're going to offer up a prayer on behalf of those folks in Texas. You say, well, for whom are we praying? We're going to pray for all those people who have suffered loss. Loss of loved ones, loss of property, loss of security, loss of stability. Those who are serving others as a result of their jobs. The police, the firefighters, the EMT, the Florida Wildlife Commission officers, the National Guard. We're going to pray for those who are serving others voluntarily. The Cajun Navy and others like them who are serving in Texas with their own boats, their own trucks, their own gas, their own money. And there are other organizations like the Red Cross. Before we go in prayer, I want to remind you of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. We're going to pray in just a minute. And I know that we have all the little people in here with us. Let me just throw this out for you guys. When you're praying, if your neck starts hurting, what it means is you're bending your head too far. Pick it back up. Okay? Please bow with me. Father, we thank You for the blessings that You give us every day. We thank You for such a large storm that was relatively little loss of life. For those who have lost loved ones, we ask Your peace and Your comfort. Bring people to those suffering who can comfort them and allow them to feel Your love. We know, Father, that people are suffering from the loss of real property and real belongings. Restore to them their feeling of security. For those who, due to their jobs, are daily going into harm's way that others can live, bring them back safely to their own homes and their own families. Help those folk to do their jobs and do them well. Help them to remember and apply the training that they've had. For the volunteers, Father, please bless them with safety as well. And for those who have come to help despite not having to do so, please bless them materially so that they can continue to bless others. We thank You, Father, for their presence and their willingness to help. We thank You for the opportunity to see people coming together for a common cause, the love of their fellow man. We thank you for the opportunity to see so much love on the nightly news as people are demonstrating their love for other people. We ask you, Father, for the courage to be bold and bring others to you. Help us to have faith in you that you will help us through uncertainty. Help us to be available to you when you call. Your love is great, Father, and we thank you for it. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, your Son. And the congregation said, Amen. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate display of love. Now Jesus has done his part. Are you willing to accept the service that was done for you? If you would like to do so, you can do so as you come forward, as together we stand, and as we sing.